And again, good morning. Let's bow our heads for a second. Heavenly Father, we are just so thankful that you bring us together today. And Father, we look to you as the author of our life, as our Savior, as the one that sees us through difficult times. And you're always there, Lord, and we just are so thankful. And now, Father, as we look at your word, I just pray that truth would be revealed, that your word would reach hearts, and that we would be able to live by what you have given us. So we lift this up to you in Jesus' name. Amen. There's something true about all of us in this room, and it's a simple, simple statement. Actually, it doesn't just stand true for all of us in this room. It actually stands pretty true for everybody on the planet. You are either at a point in life where you are facing life's battles, and you've maybe been in the battle for some time, or you're at a point in your life where you're coming out of the battle and you're finding a little bit of rest. And the truth of all of this is it follows through a cycle. And you may find rest here, but be prepared because there's other battles to win. There's other battles that are to come. Satan likes that because when he can get us focused on the battles of life, when he can bring us down, he wins. And all too often, as Christians, we just surrender. So this morning, I'm going to be talking about winning life's battles. How do we do that? And it's not how do we do that thinking the way that man thinks, but how do we do that thinking about the guidelines that God has given us? One of the metaphors in the Bible, and the Bible uses it over and over again for the Christian life, is that of a battle. In Ephesians 6, beginning with verse 11, it says this: "Put on the full armor of God so that your stand against the devil, so you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in heavenly realms." The spiritual forces of evil in heavenly realms. Right now, this morning, at this very moment, as you are here, as you're sitting here listening to the message, and maybe sometimes our mind wanders elsewhere, but I want you to realize this. As you were coming here this morning, angels were fighting for you. Angels were doing battle for you so that you could be here. I talked to someone earlier, and bless her heart, she struggled today to be here. But she's here. And the thought is, I hurt, I've got pain, I'm going to church. And the battles are being fought in heavenly realms. And if we could only see with spiritual eyes the battles that are taking place for us. And now this morning we come together in God's house. Don't be deceived and don't be fooled, because as we're sitting here right now, in heavenly realms, battles are being fought. And those battles, folks, those battles are for you. They're for me. And the battles that we're talking about and be talking about today are battles that we fight daily. And some of the battles that we fight daily, they may be financial battles. They may be spiritual battles. That spiritual battle of saying, Lord, are you real? Lord, are you there? Lord, do you care for me? And sometimes we even say, Lord, I'm going to try to tell you what to do. The spiritual battles. There's relationship battles that take place, and we have to fight these. All kinds of battles in our daily lives. Well, in the Old Testament, we find a man by the name of Jehoshaphat. He's the king of Israel. And he got word from a friend that the three enemy nations were coming against him and the nation Israel to fight them. The odds weren't too good because it was three nations against one nation, three nations against Israel. And the Bible tells us that these three nations were the Moabites, the Ammonites, and the Meunites. Try to say those real fast. So what I want us to do this morning, I want us to look at the story. It's found in 2 Chronicles chapter 20. I'm going to begin reading, or I'm just going to have mix it into the message as we go here. But 2 Chronicles chapter 20, beginning with verse 1, says, "After this, the Moabites, the Ammonites, and the Meunites came to make war on Jehoshaphat. Some men came and told Jehoshaphat, 'A vast army is coming against you from Edom, from the other side of the sea. It's already in Hazazon Tamar,'" which that's En Gedi. God put this story of Jehoshaphat in the Bible in order to illustrate to us the vital spiritual principle in winning the battles of life. And as we talk about this, and we talk about this great battle that was to take place, I want you to remember that God orchestrates things, and he wants us to learn from it. He doesn't put things in the Bible just by chance. He doesn't put it in there just so we can have good, easy reading. But he puts it in there for us to learn. And so there's certain principles, vital principles, that we have to do or we have to understand if we're going to win in the battles of life. Now, you have a rough outline in your bulletins. Feel free to jot down whatever notes you want to. But I wanted to go through there, and I want to share these battles because, or how we can do it, the ways to, the principles to identify or how to handle the battles in life. Number one, you've got to identify the enemy. You've got to identify the enemy. Verse 1 shows us that first principle in overcoming the battles of life. Identify your enemy. This it seems to be a rather obvious principle, and I'm all tongue-tied today. But actually, it's not. Many people simply do not know who their enemy is. They have no idea. They start mistrusting everyone. And often we think the enemy is some other person or even our own family members, but they may not be the ones who are standing against us, but they may be standing for us, and we just don't know it. Have you ever told somebody the truth in love, and suddenly you're the enemy? I'll tell you what, I do a lot of counseling. And there's a few marks that I like to put on counseling that I do. And one of them is that I'm very honest and very straightforward. And that I may not tell you what you want to hear, but I will always tell you what you need to hear. And some of you that have sat with me, you know this. And what happens is suddenly, because there's a battle going on, suddenly I'm the bad guy. Well, Pastor said, he's such a jerk. That may be true, but I've told you the truth. And I've been honest. And what happens when we're in these battles of life, sometimes we are looking at those who are close to us, those that we know, those that are around us, and instead of seeing them trying to help us, we see them as the enemy because they're not telling us what we really need to know. You got to identify your enemy. Many times, the enemy is really our own attitude, the way we handle the situation. Before we can start winning our battles, we have to know who the enemy is. Notice how Jehoshaphat reacted when he heard that these three nations were coming against him. The Bible says Jehoshaphat was alarmed. In different translations, it says he was afraid. Put yourself in that position. You are about to be attacked. You've got one little group here, and you've got three big armies here, and they're going to come down, and they are going to wipe you off the face of the earth. He was alarmed. He was scared. What is about to happen? Well, we read on, and we find the second principle here. When we're battling the battles and trying to win the battles of life, the first one is identify your enemy. The second one is don't be driven by emotion. Don't be driven by emotion. Of course Jehoshaphat was alarmed. And he had every right to be. Three nations were coming up against him that would be a typical and it'd be a typical reaction really for all of us. But don't let your emotions take control. Emotions will mislead us. Emotions will have us do things, say things, and act in ways that we shouldn't. Emotions will cause us to lash out in places we shouldn't. And emotions will destroy us with fear. Don't let them take over. Some people do that, though, don't they? They let their emotions take control of them. They'll get mad. They'll get angry, furious. And look out when this happens, if you're standing anywhere around them when it happens, because you may become the target. They don't mean it. They didn't want to do it, but they're mad, they're angry, they're upset, they're frustrated, whatever it is, and that's going to be thrown at whoever they can throw it at. And it's the truth. And you become a casualty of their emotional explosion. How many of you have ever gotten mad? How many have ever yelled at somebody you shouldn't yell at? Yeah, that's what happens. I could go a step further for myself and say, how many of you have ever hit somebody because they just happen to be the closest one? Yeah. Yeah, and you know what? When you come away from those things, you feel about that big. But if we allow the emotions to be there, we're not going to go back and apologize. Emotions are terrible when you let them take over and when you let them make you mad and angry and people become a casualty of your emotional explosion. But here's what the Bible says, James 1, verse 19 and 20. My dear brothers, take note of this. Everybody in Laurel Street this morning, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. For man's anger does not bring about the righteous life that God desires. Did you get that? Did you get that? Quick to listen. You know what? God gave us two ears and one mouth. We need to listen twice as much as we talk. And that'll save you a lot on this whole emotion thing. Man's anger does not bring about the righteous life God desires. God doesn't want you going around losing your temper, getting mad. And by the way, you know what? Anger kills. And I'm talking about somebody else. What anger does to your body and how anger works in your body and how this emotion can stress your body. People have had heart attacks. They've had brain aneurysms. Number of different things that happen because they can't control their emotions. You ever see somebody really get mad and they get red and the veins in their neck start poking out? And that's not healthy. The Bible also says the Bible has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of sound mind. All of us are emotional beings. That's the way God has created us. But don't let your emotions get the better of you. Takes us into really step three. So what do we do? Step three. It's real simple. We take our problems to the Lord. And sometimes when we take our problems to the Lord, sometimes we have to go and we have to say this. If we're honest, and God, you're the one we can be honest with, and we know that. And we take the problem and we say, Lord, look at me first. Reveal to me my problem. And where it's necessary, Lord, change my heart. Change my heart so that my heart may be in sync with your heart, that my heart may be in sync with yours, God. You created me, you made me, you know me. And I know that in this situation, in this battle I'm fighting, I've got something to do with it. Change my heart so that my heart might be like yours. And we go to the Lord, and we take our problems to Him. 2 Chronicles 20, verse 3 said, alarmed, or like I said, afraid, Jehoshaphat resolved to inquire of the Lord. And in doing so, he proclaimed a fast for all of Judah. When Jehoshaphat learned that the three nations were coming against him, he was alarmed. But instantly, he set himself to seek the Lord. His first thing, I've got a battle in life, and life battles are so often so greater than we are, and I need to face this. But the first thing I have to do before I face this battle, before I deal with this battle, before I go through this battle, is I have to allow the Lord to be controlling me and to be working in me. I have to give it to Him. I have to seek the Lord. And how many times in life when we're facing the battles do we really truly get on our knees before God or just bow and say, Lord, here I am. I need your help. You're greater than I am. And I know you've already got this worked out. I just don't know how you've got it worked out. Lord, please just let me know that you're there. Let me know that you're going to take care of that. I want to seek you, Lord. Jehoshaphat said, we're going to have this great fast. And we're going to seek the Lord, and we're going to seek the Lord's direction. And that's the third principle in winning the battles of life. Take your problems to God. I talked to somebody one time, and they were talking about some troubles they were going through. And I said, listen, here's what you need to do. It was very apparent. I said, you need to get before God, and you need to pray. And you need to talk to God about this and ask God to help you through it. Are you kidding? This is too small. It's not a big deal. I said, it can be. God doesn't care about this. He's got bigger things to care about. Listen, you are the most important thing in God's eyes. Each and every one of us. Don't ask me how He can do it, but it's true. And your little teeny tiny, what you may think are the things that are little teeny tiny issues in your life or little teeny tiny battles that need to be fought, God says, I'm here. Come to me. Bring me those little teeny tiny battles so that together we can work through them before they become great big huge battles. There is not a battle that is too small for God to respond. There isn't. And there's also no battle that is too great. God says, I like to hear from you, and I like to help you, and I want to. And, you know, usually what we find is the last thing that we try is prayer. I don't get it. But maybe because we want things to work out and us to work it out ourselves. We want to work it out our way. Because if I work it out my way, I'm going to feel better about it. No, you're going to flop. But that's the mind. Jehoshaphat prayed, and you know what he said? In effect, this is what he said. He said, God, I know that you've helped me in the past. Now, you think about yourself, and maybe some of you are praying that today. God, I know that you've helped me in the past. I love looking at the past and remembering the times that God has always been there. And I know that you can help me in the future. And then he's saying, so please help me now. Help me now. Please take care of our enemies, for we have no power to face that vast army that's attacking us. Lord, take care of this problem because I don't have the resources or the means or anything else to take care of this battle. We don't know what to do. But Father, our eyes are on you. Our eyes are on you. And that's verses 6 through 12 in our passage he's talking. It brings us up to point 4. How are you doing so far? Beginning to get an idea on this battle? The fourth step, fourth principle in winning the battles of life is to admit you need help. Not only seek God, but admit you need help. Jehoshaphat did when he said, we are powerless before this great multitude are coming against us. nor do we know what to do. But our eyes, he said, this is in verse 12, but our eyes, he said, are on you. Isn't that cool? Wouldn't it be just to have this stuff going on in life and be in a battle and just say, Lord, I'm looking at you. Always makes me think, Peter getting out, walking on water. As long as his eyes, if you go back and read the story, as long as his eyes were on Jesus, you know, the big storm, the boat's going to sink, everybody's scared, and they see Jesus coming across the water, they think it's a ghost, it's a terrible, terrible storm. Peter gets out of the boat, and he goes, starts walking towards Jesus. And he's walking on top of the water because Jesus called him. And he looked at Jesus, and he kept his eyes on Jesus, and as long as his eyes were on Jesus, he's walking on top of the water. I tried that once, failed miserably. Blub, blub. And anyway, he took his eyes off Jesus, and he started looking at the stuff around him. Oh, man, look at the storm. Look at the waves and lightning and thunder and all of this going on, and this battle that's going on around me is too great, and I not only have one battle, I got many battles. I got battles on all fronts, and it's all around me. What battle do I fight first? How do I handle this? God, I need your help. Peter said, Lord, save me. Got his eyes back on Jesus. He got focused on Jesus, and what Jesus did, he reached down and lifted him up on the water. Isn't that cool? And when we reach that point in our battles, that we actually will look to God and admit that we need help, when we look and we say, Lord, I need you, he's there. He's there. You need to say, Lord, I've got a problem and I need your help. And there's only one person that God doesn't help. And that's a person who doesn't think he needs help. When you say, Lord, I've got a problem and I need help, I admit my inadequacy, then he can work with it. And the Christian life is a supernatural life, and we need God's power to live it. We can't live it on our own because we have a power shortage, okay? God is willing to help, but if we're too proud to ask for it, he's probably not going to help us. He'll jump in the middle. He'll jump in wherever you want him to. But it's like everything else God does, you have to ask. How do we receive Christ? We ask. How do we receive salvation? We ask. How do we receive help through the battles of life? We ask. In James 4:6, it reads like this. It says, God opposes the proud. Are we too proud sometimes to ask for help? Are we too proud to ask God to take care of that problem? Said God opposes the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. He freely gives it to you. Okay, I'm here. I'll help you. I'll get you through this battle. Point number 5. Now we have to rely on God's power. We've asked him for help, okay? Now we have to rely on his power. And did you notice that Jehoshaphat admitted, Lord, I don't know what to do. But then he added, but our eyes are on you. You ever feel like that? Lord, I don't know what to do, but I'm looking at you. And I'm looking at you as my source. Lord, I'm looking at you. My eyes are on you. And we need to get our eyes on the Lord. Too often we've got our eyes on everything else, on everything except the one that can solve the problems. You know, circumstances are kind of like a mattress. If we're on top, we rest pretty easy. But you know what? If we're underneath, we might just suffocate. If we keep our eyes on the Lord, we stay on top of the circumstances and we stay on top of the battles. But if we don't, we might just suffocate. Number six, relax. I love this. Relax in faith. Do you have faith? Do you have faith as small as a mustard seed? That's pretty tiny. But yet, we're told that if we have the faith as small as a mustard seed, we can say, this mountain be moved from here to here and it'll be done. Just with that little teeny tiny bit of faith. That's for a whole nother message and a whole nother sermon, and I'd love to go into and explain it, but you guys wouldn't want to sit here that long. Faith. Faith. Last week we kept talking about by faith, by faith, by faith, and what God did. By faith. We relax in our battles and we relax by faith. Notice how God responded to Jehoshaphat's prayer. 2 Chronicles in this 20, verse 15, he said, listen, King Jehoshaphat, and all who live in Judah and Jerusalem, this is what the Lord says to you. Folks, whatever you're facing today, whatever battle you're up against, whatever it is that is running into your life, that is causing you to struggle and to fight, this is what the Lord says to you. Do not be afraid or discouraged because of that vast army. Don't be afraid or discouraged about that battle that's coming or that battle that you're fighting. For the battle is not yours, but God's. Catch that? The battle is not yours, but God. And we let Him take care of that. And it's not ours to fight. God will fight it for us. And the sixth principle in overcoming life's battle is to relax in faith. So many Christians today are totally worn out because they're trying to fight God's battles in their own power. And when we first become Christians, it's kind of funny because when we first become Christians, we think, God, you don't know what a deal you just got. God, you know, I'm a new Christian here, and you got me, man, and look at me, and I'm going to go out, I'm going to build your kingdom single-handedly. I'm going to go out, and I'm going to do this, and I'm going to raise you up, and God, you just got the best thing on the planet Earth next to your son. And here I am, boy, I'm just ready to go, and we're fired up, and we're ready to fight. I'm going to go out to the world. And boy, God, I want to really help you. And so the new Christian, you know, we work really hard. And eventually what happens is you come crawling back on your hands and knees and saying, Lord, I know I've really disappointed you. I am so sorry. My vanity and my pride, I've really let you down. But God replies, no. You didn't let me down because you weren't holding me up. Folks, here's the truth. We don't hold up God. We don't lift Him up. He lifts us up. You ever hear it said, God helps those who help themselves? Well, really the truth of the matter is, God helps those who can't help themselves. Listen to me carefully. I'm not saying that we shouldn't try or that we shouldn't do our best, because we should try and we should give our best effort in those things that we do. But we should also realize that without God's power, we have no power at all. Without God's power, we have no power at all. Jesus said it this way, I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him, he bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. He so wants to be a part of that. Then in Colossians 2:6, Paul puts it this way: as you have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him. That's real simple, isn't it? In other words, just the way you became a believer, be sure to live the Christian life the same way. You didn't become a Christian by working really hard, or by promising to be perfect, or doing all kinds of good things, or by doing all kinds of works for the Lord. You became a Christian by trusting in the work that Jesus Christ did for you on the cross. That's how you became a Christian. You trusted that. Jesus washed away my sins. And on the cross, I found forgiveness. On the cross, Jesus said, "Father, forgive them." And I found that not on my own and not by my doing, but I am a Christian because of the work that Christ did. The Bible says that salvation is not of works. It's by grace, the grace of God, through the sacrifice of Christ. You just came to him and said, "Lord, I believe in you. I give myself to you. Let me trust you and live for it." That's how you became a Christian. And the Christian life, folks, it's a walk of faith. And if God says that he'll take care of it, he will. Has God ever broken any of his promises? No. When my dad was alive, one year, and my father was a Christian, and one year, I got him for his birthday a little book. It was about like that, yay thick, and it was called The Promises of God. And my dad sat down, and he wasn't a big reader, but he took that book, and he started reading and going through it. And he then had a conversation with me. He says, "You know," he says, "I've never thought of it this way." And my dad wasn't much to have a serious God conversation with, okay? He was a believer, and he loved the Lord. There's no question. But, you know, sit down one-on-one, especially with his son, and have that conversation, he wasn't too big on that. But he said, "You know, I've gone through that book, and I've looked," and he said, "I had never realized it, never thought about it before. But God never broke any promises." I said, "No, he hasn't." And so if he says he'll take care of you, have the faith to believe that. He's never broken a promise. So relax. Relax and allow him to be in charge. Now, I have to admit, for me, sometimes that's the hardest lesson to learn. That's because I want to be in charge. I want to do things my way. And I spend a lot of time running around trying to win the battle. And I can't. But you know what God says to Jehoshaphat? 2 Chronicles 20, verse 17. "You will not have to fight this battle." Isn't that cool? I got three armies coming against me. Those are big battles. He says, "You will not have to fight this battle. Take up your positions, stand firm, and see the deliverance the Lord will give you." Oh, Judah and Jerusalem, it's about to come. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. Faith, or go out to them tomorrow, and the Lord will be with you. Face your battles. The Lord will be with you. Go out and confront your battles. The Lord will be with you. He will lead the way, and it's not like you're following, or he's following you. He's leading the way, and he's saying, "I've got this." What does it mean to stand firm when you've got a problem? When you're facing a battle, when you're in a crisis of life, it's a mental attitude of quiet confidence that says, "I'm going to trust God." And if he's promised you that he'll take care of it, guess what? He will. It brings us down to the seventh point, my final point, and I'm going over time again. Here's what you need to do. You need to thank God in advance. Thank God in advance. The seventh principle to conquering life's battles is to thank God in advance for giving you the victory. The story of Jehoshaphat is fascinating because the way in which the battle was won And you guys may want to take your Bibles later on today or some point, because I've given you the passages, but you might want to just go through and read this story again. It's really amazing. After he'd consulted the people, he appointed men to sing to the Lord. This is what Jehoshaphat did. To sing to the Lord, to praise God for his loving kindness. Now, I want you to get the picture of what's going on here. You've got three armies, and they're up on this plateau over here, and you've got the Israelites over here, and they're going to meet right down here in the middle, and they're going to have this big fight. And these three armies coming against this army, and they're guaranteed to crush them. And what's the directions that are given? Sing. You're the choir. And they're going to fight in this battle, and the battle's going to take place in the valley. And on the one mountain are three enemy armies just waiting to devastate the Jews. On the other mountain are the Jews led by Jehoshaphat, and he tells his people, here's God's battle plan. All of those who can sing in the choir, well, that leaves me out. All of those who can sing in the choir, I want you out front. We're going to war here. All of you who can sing in the choir, I want you out front. I want them to lead the battle line. So they go marching to battle with the choir out front. They're leading the army, but they're singing praises to God. You know, I don't think they had Onward Christian Soldiers back then, but maybe that would have been what they were singing. They're singing to God. That was his plan. And he wanted that choir out front. Did God's plan work? Yeah, it did. The Bible tells us that the three enemy armies got so confused, they couldn't figure it out. They got so confused that they ended up killing each other. They defeated themselves. And all God's people had to do was divide up the plunder when it was all finished. And why did God do it this way? It's a visual object lesson to teach us to praise God and to praise him in faith even before we received the victory. Lord, I thank you for what you're going to do. Because I don't know how you're going to do it, but I thank you. When God gives us a promise, we need to thank him. And because a promise from God is a sure thing. And here's the final outcome of the battle. 2 Chronicles 20, verse 25. So Jehoshaphat and his men went to carry off their plunder, and they found among them a great amount of equipment and clothing and also articles of value, more than they could take away. There was so much plunder, it took 3 days to collect it all. Listen, folks, when God wins the battle, there is always, always, always a bountiful blessing. That blessing is for you as you go through the battles of life. You can win. You can win, but not if you try to fight it yourself. Would you bow your heads? As I close in prayer, I really don't know all the battles that you're facing, but I know that there's battles taking place. And as I pray this morning, I'm just going to pray that you would allow God to be a part of that battle. And maybe that's what you need to pray this morning. Maybe that's what you need to pray. I know who my enemy is, but I also know who God is. And the victory is mine through Jesus. Heavenly Father, as we come to this time, I just pray that your words would sink deeply into the hearts of those who are here. And maybe some here, they're not facing any real battles right now, and life seems pretty good. But Lord, we know there's more battles to come. We will be doing this. We will be facing battles and having to fight battles until that day we stand before you in glory. And we know, Father, that in that day the battles cease. In that day, we don't have to worry about it anymore. We don't have to think about it anymore. But here on this planet, Father, we are your people, and we know the battles come. So I pray that for those today who are feeling just mired down with the battles of life, Lord, would you just guide them? Would you help them to work through the things they need to? And the simplest thing of all, Father, is just to have faith in you that you'll take care of it. Father, for heavy hearts, just fill them with yourself right now. Father, where there may be loneliness, would you just fill it with your love? Where there may be emptiness, Father, would you just allow the Holy Spirit to fill that emptiness? Father, this morning where we feel defeated, we don't feel like we can go on. Maybe we think the battle's already lost and we're just going through the motions. Lord, I just pray that there you would touch hearts and fill them with your promises and fill them with your faith. Because I know, Lord, when we turn it over to you and when we let go of it, it's such a fresh feeling. We can't win the battles ourselves, Lord, and I know that. And so for those this morning who might be trying to get through the battles themselves and whatever the struggles might be, won't you let them know that they have an ally? Have a partner in you, and you can sure take care of things. And Father, we do want to thank you in advance for the work that you do, for the love you show us. And I pray that as we'd walk away from here today, Father, we just walk away feeling uplifted and comforted in what you've given us through your word. I lift this in Jesus' name. Amen.